Man, we're changing up our style on Wednesday night. Make it more like a class. I'll be giving you a different test to do, not to take up or keep track, just for your own purpose to get you to study. We have a good time doing it. Now, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 for some time. I think it's a very important chapter. I think if you can be solid on Acts chapter 2, you can be solid on a lot of other areas also. So we're going to spend about 3 or 4 weeks in the book of Acts chapter 2. So I want you to be sure to be here every Wednesday night and take all of this in. Now, Acts chapter 2 deals, and let's go ahead and look at verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and we're just going to cover verse 1 this evening. Maybe a little bit more, don't know for sure. But we're just going to title the message this evening, The Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost. And that's the main thing we're going to focus on. So let's look down at verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this honor and privilege that we have to be in your house this evening. And Father, as we begin to get into this study, and as we begin to look at the Pentecost, we pray that you'd bless it. We pray for anyone here tonight that doesn't know you as your Savior, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, what we're going to do is, if you would go back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, we're told about a total of 7 feast days that the children of Israel celebrated. And these 7 feast days revolved around 3 main feasts that they celebrated, and they all evolved around these 3 different harvests. Does anybody remember the one in the spring? Passover. That was the spring harvest. And they had a feast during the time of the spring harvest. All right. Secondly, in the summer, they had another summer harvest. That was the feast we're going to look at this evening. And that was the feast of Pentecost. Now, the third feast, major feast, these are the 3 major feasts. The third one was in the fall, and it was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you should know these because Mom has been decorating the table for each one of those feast days for several years. You'll come in on Passover, you'll see that table be decorated for Passover. That will be in the springtime when you see that happen, around Easter time. We celebrate Easter's when we celebrate. That's when Passover time was in the spring. Come into the summertime, you'll come in and you'll see the table decorated for the Feast of Pentecost. Come in the fall, you'll see a little booth there. They call it like a little building she has there, which was a picture of little huts like they lived in that they made, little shelters they made when they was going across in the wilderness journey. And they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was in the fall. That's the 3 main feasts that they celebrated. Now, there was other feasts that are associated with those, and we're going to look at some of them also this evening. But the main thing that we're going to focus on is the Feast of Pentecost. That happened when? In the summer. Around middle of June is when the feast, our June. Of course, the Jews had 2 different calendars. They had a civil calendar. They also had a religious calendar, and different names than our months, but our months correspond to theirs, to some of them, okay? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the spring, and we're going to go back to the main harvest in the spring, and that main harvest time, the main feast there would be the Passover feast. And in the Passover feast, the reason why we got to go back there is the Feast of Pentecost was linked to a special day that happened in the week of Passover. Are you with me? So because the Feast of Pentecost was linked back to the Feast of Passover in that time frame, we got to look back to the spring harvest, then come up to the summer. Does that sound fair? So we got to look at them all. Now, I'm not going to take you to Leviticus 23, but Leviticus 23 records all that I'm going to tell you. I thought it would be better for me just to tell you about it. Now, it's the month of Nisan is the month, and also the month of Abib. 2 different months, but the same month that these things happen. Now, on the 14th was the Passover. You got that? The 14th was the Passover. The day following Passover began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, what's unleavened bread? You ever come to the Lord's Supper, you'll see unleavened bread. It doesn't have no yeast in it. It's flat. It looks like pizza crust, doesn't it? Why is it flat? Don't have no yeast in it. Okay, so unleavened bread, that's what it looks like. So on the, you had the Passover on the 14th. On the 15th, you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then on the 16th, you had the Feast of First Fruits. Now, I'm going to explain more about these. I'm just showing you, giving you the time frames that these things happen in. It's all happened in the month of Abib or the month of Nisan in the on the Jewish calendars, okay? This would be our spring. Around, as a matter of fact, if you look, some of your calendars that you look at will show Passover. Some of your calendars will show Pentecost, since these different days. And this would be in the spring. 14th Passover, what's the day following? Unleavened bread. And that feast lasted 7 days. For 7 days, you ate unleavened bread. There wasn't no leaven to be found in your house. They made a kind of a game out of it with the kids. The parents would hide little pieces of leaven in the house, and the kids would go find it and take it out. No leaven in the house for 7 days. Okay? Now, on the 16th was the Feast of First Fruits. Now, you want to remember the Feast of First Fruits. Now, all this will make sense to you as we explain it on in the text. Now, on the Feast of First Fruits, they would go out and they'd get a sheaf. You heard bringing in the sheaves? They'd go out into their fields and they'd get a sheaf from the barley harvest. They would beat it into powder and they would bring it down to the, they'd bring it down to the temple, or at that time, what we're looking at in Leviticus would be the tabernacle, and they would wave that before the Lord. And that was a thanksgiving offering for the what? The harvest. That's what they thanked God for. It was called a first what? First fruit. It was the first ripe in the barley harvest, and that was dedicated to the Lord. And they would come and they would wave that before the Lord. Everybody got that? Now, the reason why I told you about first fruits is you counted 50 days from first fruits, and that brought you to the Feast of Pentecost. So first fruits was linked to what? Pentecost. It was linked to it. I want you to see that because that's going to be important for you to remember. See, so you counted from first fruits 50 days. Remember, the word Pentecost means 50. See, Pentecost means 50, 50 days from this feast of first fruits. Everybody got the time? I just want to get the time in your mind so you think about it. 14th Passover. 15 started unleavened bread. How long did it last? 7 days you ate unleavened bread. No leaven found in your house. Okay? On the 16th, that's the day following unleavened bread, you had the feast of what again? First fruits. That's the first fruits from what harvest? The barley harvest. They bring a sheaf, ground in the powder, and they offer that to the Lord. Okay? 50 days from that, then brought you to Pentecost. Okay, now let's bring out some of the lessons from these, because some of these lessons you already know. Now, what is the Passover a picture of? What they do on the Passover? That was in Exodus chapter 12, wasn't it? It was the very first one. Remember what the Lord said? This is while the children of Israel was still in bondage. They were told that a destroyer was going to pass through the land of Egypt at midnight. And every firstborn son of man and beast was going to die throughout the land of Egypt. Now that's a tremendous plague. And if the firstborn would die throughout the land, probably several million people died that particular night. The Egyptian nation was greatly populated. As a matter of fact, the Bible said when the destroyer went through the land, there wasn't a household where there wasn't one dead. Well, you know what the Lord did? He provided a means of saving the firstborn of Israel. That's what he did. And he told Moses to go tell the people to take a what? Remember? Take a lamb. And they were to shed its blood. And then they were to take it and they were to put it over top of the door and down both sides of the door. And it came to pass whenever the destroyer went through the land, when he saw the blood, what does the Bible say that it did? It passed over. So no death came where what was applied? Where the blood was applied, no death came. Well, actually, there was a death came there. The lamb died. Rather than the firstborn dying, the lamb died instead. Does everybody see it? See, that lamb was a substitute. Exactly right. Well, now we know who the lamb pictures. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he seen Jesus, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. There Jesus is called the Passover. So he's called the Passover, and Jesus is also called the Lamb. Now, where it's different with us today, the destroyer is coming for us one of these days, is he not? Everyone in this building, one day, if the Lord doesn't come in our life, one day we're going to die. Now, we don't know when that's going to be. I like to think when I get about, 110, that I'm going to go. But the fact remains, I may go next week. But the good thing is, when the death angel comes, so to speak, the blood's been applied to my life. I've had a substitute. Rather than me dying and spending an eternity in hell, the Lamb of God died in my place. And I want to tell you tonight, this theme and the story behind Passover is that you need a substitute. And without a substitute, you'll die in your sin. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sin." So Jesus represented by the feast of the Passover. The week that Jesus died, what week was it? He died Passover week. Wasn't that lucky, you think? No, that's exactly the plan. Since before the foundation of the world, He determined that He would die that week. In the book of Exodus 12, it pictured what Jesus would do. What's even more do you want to know about? Is in the tabernacle in the Old Testament and then later on in the temple, they offered a lamb every morning and every evening. Every morning and every evening. So that picture Jesus over. I mean, if you looked at the tabernacle, it preached salvation by the blood. That's what it did. It preached salvation by the blood through the pictures and things that were done there. Okay, you got the picture of the Passover? Passover pictures the substitutionary death of Jesus for our what? Sin. No Passover, what happens to you? Then you'll die in your sin. That's what that's a picture of. Now, after you received the Passover, came the feast of what? Unleavened bread. And that represents what we're made in Christ Jesus. Leaven is a picture of sin. Does everybody know that? Yeah, he said in the book of 1 Corinthians that a little leaven, 1 Corinthians 5, leavens the whole lump. That means a little sin. They had a man in their congregation that was living in open, unrepentant sin. And he said, a little leaven there. Well, leaven the whole what? The corrupting influence of that could leaven the whole lump. So, leaven is a picture of sin. When we take the Lord's Supper, we use unleavened bread. Why is that again? Why is the bread of the Lord's Supper unleavened? Who does the bread of the Lord's Supper picture? Christ Jesus. And Jesus had no what? He had no leaven. He had no sin. So he's pictured by what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. Well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures your position when you receive the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, when you receive the Passover, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you know what happens to your sin? He removes it as far as the east is from the west. Romans 4 said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." What happened to my sins? Who took care of my sins? The Passover did. Okay? All right, so all my sins charged to who? The Lord. Okay. Now, not only did Jesus take all my sin whenever I trust Him as my Savior, but what else does Jesus do besides take away your sin when He saves your soul? He does something else. He gives you His righteousness. It takes righteousness to go to heaven. It takes 100%, and the only place you can get that righteousness is in Jesus. Now watch this. When you receive the Passover, you stand before God unleavened, as if, Kermit, you'd never sinned. And that's the picture of the unleavened bread. You've had all your sin charged to Jesus, and you've had all of His righteousness charged to you. And you're what again? Unleavened. Where's your sin at? Jesus paid it all. Isn't that wonderful? It's a beautiful position to be in. But you notice this unleavened comes after what? It comes after the Passover. You're not made unleavened, Tim, until you receive the Passover. All right. Now, after unleavened bread came the Feast of the First Fruits. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 in your Bibles with me. Now, if you haven't got a Bible, you need to bring one to our, I said class, but well, it is a class. You need to bring one to church with you. If you don't have a Bible, we've got a case of them. We'll give you one. Love to give you one if you don't have one. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right. Now, we notice that the Passover was a picture. The Passover was a picture of who? Jesus. Jesus' sacrificial death. Well, the Feast of First Fruits is a picture of Jesus' resurrection. And I want to show you that. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse 20. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and He's become the what? Because Jesus the first fruits. Not only is Jesus the Passover, but Jesus is the first fruits. He's the first fruits of them that do what? What's slept me? They died. And that's a reference to their body. It's not a reference to their soul. Remember that. Your soul don't sleep. It moves when you die. Your spirit departs your body. Jesus said when Jesus died, His spirit left His body, didn't it? That's what it means to die. Where did His spirit go? He told you where it went. Today thou shalt be. Told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in. His spirit went there. Where did His body go? It was placed in the grave. But His spirit wasn't there. His spirit was with the Lord. Okay? Now, after 3 days, what did Jesus then do? He resurrected. So Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. Now, there was other people that resurrected before Jesus. Did Lazarus resurrect? Elijah raised someone from the dead in the Old Testament. Widow's main son was resurrected. Jairus' daughter was resurrected. Was they not? Why does it say Jesus was the first fruits? Well, let me tell you why. All of those died again. They resurrected only to do what? They died again. Jesus was the first to resurrect. Never to die again. He was the first fruits. See? The first fruits of them which slept. Now, let's look down in 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ is the, here you have it again, Christ is the first fruits, and they that are Christ at His coming. And we'll come back to that again. But two times it calls Jesus what? So this first fruit here, this first fruit day here is a picture of Jesus also. Passover pictures His death. First fruits pictures His what? What do you call the death and resurrection of Christ? What's the word for that? Gospel. You see, that is a picture of the gospel message. Isn't that wonderful? The gospel was pictured in the Old Testament by the Passover. And by the what else? The first fruits. Now, why would first fruits, why would a barley, piece of barley that come up out of the ground, why would that be a picture of a resurrection? Well, if you're going to have a harvest, what do you have to first do? You have to plant what? See, that's a picture of a death, isn't it? When someone dies, you put their body in a grave, see? That's a planting. And then after 3 days, what did Jesus do? He come up. So you put the seed in the ground, and then what does the seed do? See the picture of the resurrection? Even when springtime comes, I was walking down in the backyard the other day looking, and Debbie's got them, well, you call them perennials, don't you? Yeah, you got them perennials there. You know what them perennials do? They come up. Even springtime itself is a picture of a resurrection. Everything's coming back to what? Life, you see. And I think it's wonderful. I love springtime. Well, it's a picture of a resurrection too. But this barley seed that was put in the ground and came up, pictures a resurrection. So Passover pictured his death. First fruits pictured his resurrection. Very good. Now, first fruits, you counted that day and you counted 50 days from first fruits. And you came to what feast day? Pentecost. That's what 50 means. And it was linked with what day? It was linked with first fruits. It's linked with it. That's why you counted this from this first fruit day. And if you didn't have this first fruits, you wouldn't have had Pentecost. You had to have the first fruits in order to have what? Didn't have Pentecost without first fruits. All right, did everybody see that? I just wanted you to be acquainted here with the dates. Okay, now let's turn to Acts chapter 2. That will lay the foundation for all of that. Now let's bring out some of the lessons from this. Let's go ahead. I want you to go to Acts 2, and I do want you to turn to Leviticus. I'm sorry. Yeah, I want you to turn to Leviticus 23 for this too. Trying to keep this orderly, and trying to keep things going in order makes it easier to see that way. Now, what was the difference between the first fruits at Passover and the first fruits at Pentecost? You see, Pentecost was another. There was going to be first fruits offered at Pentecost too. There was first fruit of the barley harvest offered in the spring, Job. But then when you counted those 50 days and you come to the Feast of Pentecost, they offered fruits, first fruits at the Feast of Pentecost too. But there's a great big difference between the first fruits at Pentecost and the first fruit at Passover. You know what the difference was? Well, one difference was they offered two loaves. They offered two omers at the Feast of Pentecost. But there's another bigger difference. The main thing, does anybody know what the difference between the sheaves at Pentecost and the sheaves at Passover? What was the main difference? You remember? Leaven. Leaven. The barley sheaf was unleavened, because it pictured who? Christ and his resurrection. Jesus was unleavened. He was without sin. But these two sheaves offered at the Feast of Pentecost from the wheat harvest, where they were different is they were leavened. That's the difference. That's a big difference. So we right off the bat know that if these two sheaves that were offered at the Feast of Pentecost were leavened, we know they're not a picture of Jesus, don't we? See, because Jesus was unleavened. He was without sin. Well, these two sheaves offered at Pentecost pictured sinners then, don't they? They have to, because they're leavened. Leaven is a picture of sin. All right, now let's look here in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. And I want you to show you what they did. This is cool. This is a beautiful picture. You see, the Old Testament, who gave these things to be done this way was God. And the reason why he gave these things to be done these ways and was strict on the way he gave them to them is because they were pictures of great New Testament truths. They were just given in picture form. One of the things I enjoy doing anything more than anything else is going back into the Old Testament and showing you the pictures. We know the picture of Passover. Now we also need to know the picture of Pentecost. All right, now Luke chapter 23, it mentions, let's go ahead and look up at verse 17. "Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with what? Leaven." So there's the difference between it and first fruits at Passover time, or the Feast of First Fruits. The offering at Pentecost was with leaven. All right, now look down in the text. Now here's when they waved these before the Lord. I want you to see what they did. It says in verse 19 and 20, "Then ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, two lambs," to what? To what again? Two lambs. You see, with these two leavened loaves was offered what? You see, they're not acceptable without the what? Without the blood, without the lambs. I want you to see this now. It says, "And the priest shall wave them," that's the two lambs, "with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs, and they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest." So when they offer this sweet offering in the summer harvest, they offered those two leavened loaves with two what? You see, the lambs is what made them acceptable. How are we accepted with God? You have to be covered by the blood of the lamb. And that's what that's a picture of. Isn't that beautiful? You see, the leaven was unacceptable. The leavened loaves was unacceptable to God unless they were offered with a what? With a lamb. And that same thing is true of you. If you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be accepted of the Lord, you have to have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life. You have to trust Jesus. Without the blood of the Lamb, you're leavened. You're unacceptable. You know what the book of Ephesians 1 says? We are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1. We are accepted in the Beloved. Okay, so everybody see the offering with the two lambs? All right, now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start to wind this up. That's why I'm just going to give you, I'm not going to say it's going to be real short. But it's going to be a little bit shorter. Of course, I know I'm not nowhere done or done yet, but I'm ahead in that direction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's give you some of the lessons from it. Now, when we looked at the Passover, and then we seen unleavened bread, and then what feast was that called? The 16th day? The Feast of First Fruits. When we looked at that, the first fruit was a picture of whose resurrection? Jesus's. We realized the first fruit is a picture of a resurrection. Because it was a seed that was put in the ground that came up. That's the reason why it's pictured that way. When we go to the second first fruit offering at Pentecost, when we go to that one, that's also going to have to be a picture of a resurrection too, isn't it? And that also going to be a picture of a resurrection too? Well, certainly it is. Well, in the Feast of the Pentecost, you have a picture of our resurrection. You see, because of Jesus' resurrection, one day what's going to happen to us? We're going to resurrect. You see, without first fruits, you wouldn't have no Pentecost. It was linked with this one. So since Passover, the Feast of First Fruits at Passover time, since it pictured Jesus' resurrection, we wouldn't have no resurrection of the just if it wasn't for Jesus. We're linked with Him. No resurrection of Jesus, no resurrection of the just for us. There'll just be a resurrection of the damned. When Jesus comes again, we are going to be resurrected. Now watch this in 1 Corinthians 15, how this comes into play. Watch what it says. Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Verse 23, "Every man in his own order. Christ the afterward." They that are Christ when? At His coming. You see, so the Feast of Pentecost and the offering of those two leavened loaves with the Lamb is a picture of our resurrection. You see, you get to see a living picture of 1 Corinthians 15:23. Christ was the first. Afterwards, they that are Christ, pictured by the leaven loaves covered with the what? Covered with the lamb, covered by the blood. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at His coming. You know, we're going to resurrect. If I die, my spirit will go be with the Lord. But one of these days, we're going to get a new body, are we not? We're going to get a resurrected body, and that will be at His coming. Now, why am I going to resurrect? Why am I going to resurrect? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus died, and then He did what? Because He resurrected, because He was the first fruits, those that are Christ is going to be resurrected at His coming. That's pictured by the Feast of Pentecost. The feast, the two leavened loaves at Pentecost covered, offered with the lambs, is a picture of the saved. Isn't that wonderful? Now, why is it pictured by two lambs? Why two leavened loaves? Have you ever wondered why that is? I'm going to give you two explanations this time. I usually give you one, I'm going to give you two. And I'm going to let you think about both of them. Okay, when Jesus comes again, are there two groups? I know they're saved and lost, but is there two groups of saved people? Think about it now. When Jesus comes again, there's two groups, aren't they? There's when Jesus comes, He's going to bring those that are in heaven today. If He comes tonight, He's going to bring them with Him, aren't He? Isn't He? They're going to come in the clouds with Him. So, are they first fruits? Yeah, they're people that have died. And then they'll be given a body and they'll be resurrected and they'll be where at? They'll be in the clouds. But there'll be another group that day of people that are saved. What group of people is that going to be? That's going to be the living, isn't it? You say, well, the living didn't die. How can they be pictured by a first fruit? Well, if you look in the book of Revelations, it describes the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7 as being first fruits to the Lord. And in the rapture, it's a picture. He's reaping the earth of His people. So you have a picture of when Jesus comes again. You have a picture of those that have died being with Jesus in the clouds and those that are raptured being with Jesus in the clouds. Two groups. But what do they have in common? They're both sinners. They all were sinners. But the reason why they're in heaven is because of who? The blood of the Lamb. All got there the same way. So those that are raptured is also pictured as being first fruits. Revelation chapter 14 shows you them being first fruits. It calls them first fruits. Okay? You ready for the other explanation? Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, one of the things that was under the Old Covenant is the Jew. If you go back to the Old Testament, it was primarily Jews that were saved. Primarily. There was a few Gentiles saved, but it was primarily Jews. And when Jesus was here on earth in His earthly ministry, He went first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never went outside of Israel. It was primarily the Jews. And then He established His church and He gave the commission. And He sent it to the world. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Aren't you thankful? And then when we're studying the book of Acts, we're going to see them take that gospel message. We're going to see them do that and take it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, the Jew and the Gentile were separated. They really were under the old covenant. You can go into the temple. If you look at an old scale model of the temple, there was about a 3-foot wall there that was in the temple that was called the Court of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles could just go that far. No Gentile could cross that and go in any closer. It kept the Jews and the Gentiles what? Separate. And the Gentiles were more, you could be a Gentile proselyte, but you were still a second-class citizen until God brought in the new covenant. And then in the new covenant, the Jew and the Gentile are one in Jesus Christ. We're not separate anymore. So we were both Jew and Gentile. book of Romans says he's concluded that both Jew and Gentile is being under sin. That's one thing we all have in common. Jew and Gentile, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all saved by the same Messiah. The same Savior. You know what Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 10? Let me read this to you here, and I'll tell you where it's at, because I just come to mind here, and I want to read this to you. In the Gospel of John chapter 10, it says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd." Well, at that time, it was mainly the Jews, and then he was going to be saving the what? Gentiles, and then there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. Now turn to Ephesians 2. I want you to see where he, in under the new covenant, I'm a spiritual Jew. And under the new covenant, if a Jew trusts Jesus, they are spiritual Jews. You see, the true Jew is one that is spiritual. The true circumcision is that of the heart. You become a child of Abraham as one who by faith has trusted Jesus as the Messiah. That's who the true Jew is. That's what Romans 2 says. That's what the book of Galatians says. How the Bible reads it, how the Bible shows it. Now watch this now. Ephesians 2, look at verse 12, Gentiles. "That at time ye were without Christ." This is what your condition was under the old covenant. You were without Christ. The Messiah was a Jewish hope. It wasn't a Gentile hope. When Jesus came on the scene and he talked to Nicodemus, that Pharisee, and he said, "God so loved the world that he gave you." So that blowed him away. Because they didn't view God as loving Gentiles. That's why when I read that text, I say Gentile as well as Jew, because that's the intent of the text. He loves Gentile as well as Jew. "You were without the Messiah, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye that were afar off were made near by the blood of Christ." We're brought in and made near. Watch this now. Verse 14. Remember that wall I talked about a little while ago? It's mentioned in this verse. "For he is our peace, who hath made both. He's made both, what's it say? He's made both one, Jew and Gentile. He broke down that middle wall, and he's made us one in Christ Jesus. So the other viewpoint is that those two loaves pictures Jews and Gentiles, made one in Christ, and will be resurrected. Of course, when Jesus comes again. Honestly, I think the first one fits better than the second. I think the second one is true. But I think since the first fruits pictures Jesus, pictures our resurrection, that takes you down to the second coming. You hear what I'm saying? That takes you down to the second coming. And on the second coming, there's two groups. There's those that are living here on earth and those that are in heaven. And both of those are first fruits. And the reason why they go to heaven is they're offered, they're covered with a what? With a lamb. Okay. Now, let's wrap this up. There's another thing that happened on the Feast of Pentecost. And they would also celebrate the Feast of Pentecost as being the day that Moses gave the law. And that was a Jewish tradition. They recognize when they celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, then they also celebrate the giving of the Mosaic Law in Exodus 20. Remember that? Remember Moses went up on Mount Sinai and he gave the law? Well, what happened is when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, what did the people do? He'd been up there 40 days. They got sick of waiting, didn't they? Remember they had Aaron make a golden calf? And then they started falling down and worshiping that golden calf and began to commit fornication and just a horrible life living it down there. And then God says, "Moses, get out." And they've soon turned away from the covenant that they've made with me. So Moses gets down there and Moses gets to the bottom. Remember what Moses did? He said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And all the Levites come and stood beside of him. And they took their swords and they went throughout the camp and they slew. You know how many men they slew? Remember what the Bible says? 3,000. 3,000. All right, now when we study here the Feast of Pentecost, when we get to the end of this chapter, after Simon Peter preaches a message, you know how many people get saved? 3,000. Isn't that something? And there's a text of Scripture that I want to remind you of to go with this. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. And let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "Who hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit." Now watch this. "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." On Mount Sinai, the letter was given, the law was given. When the law was given, 3,000 died. In Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was given, 3,000 were saved. So you have a picture of the law killing, but the Spirit giving what? Life through the gospel. So when the Lord gave these things, He intended us for us to dig in there and bring the pictures out from them. He just didn't have them do these things just to be having them do something. They have great spiritual significance and great pictures in the text. Okay, now what we did tonight is I just showed you what the feast. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. And it said the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now you know what the day of Pentecost was. And we give you, on the 14th, they celebrated the what? Passover. That's when they killed the lamb. When Jesus went into the upper room, they celebrated what feast? Passover feast, right. Day following, you had unleavened bread. If you received the lamb, you're made what? You're made unleavened. Without the Lamb of God, what are you? You're leavened. You don't want to die leavened. You want to die unleavened. You want to have your sins removed. After that came first fruits. What did the Feast of First Fruits picture? You remember? Christ our. He's our. Yeah, He resurrected for us. He's called the first fruits. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to. And because He resurrected, what does that mean? One day we're going to resurrect. Without His, that's why they're linked together. Without His resurrection, there'd be no resurrection of these two leavened loaves out here in the future. That's why they're linked back to this resurrection. Everybody see that? No resurrection of Jesus, no resurrection of Jeff. Except the resurrection of the damned. But now because of Jesus, I'm going to resurrect when He comes again. So Pentecost is a picture of whose resurrection? First fruits was a picture of Jesus's. Pentecost is a picture of whose resurrection? Ours. Pictures, our resurrection. All God's people saying, isn't that a pretty picture?